ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायण
तथापि देवः सापत्न्यान् नोपेक्षा इति मन्महे ततस्तन्मूलखनने नियुङ्क्ष्वास्माननुव्रतान् तथापि देवः सापत्न्यान् नोपेक्षा इति मन्महे ततस्तन्मूलखनने नियुङ्क्ष्वास्माननुव्रतान् स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद के। Nonetheless, because of their enmity, our opinion is that the demigods should not be neglected. Therefore, to uproot them completely, engage us in fighting with them, for we are ready to follow you. Purport. According to moral instructions, one should not neglect to extinguish fire completely, treat diseases completely, and clear debts completely. Otherwise, they will increase and later be difficult to stop. Therefore, the ministers advised Kamsa to uproot his enemies completely. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. So I beg the blessings of all the devotees who are present here. Hare Krishna. So the episode that is going on is that Kamsa has tried his best to annihilate the possible cause of his death. And he tried his best by killing all the children of his sister Devaki, and after doing everything he could, he still ends up in a situation where it had been prophesied that the eighth child of Devaki is born in some other place. So Kamsa, he releases Vasudev and Devaki and comes back to his kingdom, where he meets with his associates, the demons, who are kind of encouraging him to continue with his atrocities and somehow or another make sure that the cause of his death is annihilated. Krishna is supposed to be born, Vasudev, Supreme Lord Narayan has been prophesied to have taken birth, and the associates are trying to make sure, and by encouraging Kamsa, that he should now start killing all the children who are born in Vrindavan in a few days or weeks, so that just in case, if they are gods, the demigods who are born in Braj, they will also be annihilated. And if the child happens to be the Supreme Lord Narayan, then he will also be destroyed. So here we can see that how Kamsa, despite all his efforts to be happy, you know, despite all his opulences, he's still miserable. You know, he's trying his best, but he's somehow not peaceful. And if we contrast Kamsa's life with Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj also, it was proclaimed, it was prophesied that Parikshit Maharaj will die eventually in a short while, in 7 days, 7 nights. So what is the course Parikshit Maharaj took? He immediately accepted. Okay, yes. And he, so be it. And in fact, he was lamenting. Immediately when he was cursed, he lamented for the mistake which he made. He realized that he made a mistake. He had unnecessarily criticized or offended a Vaishnava. And he accepted the consequence, and he thought that let the reactions of the sin come in this life so that I can be freed, and so that I can, maybe if I have to take birth again, next life I can be born with a clean slate. You know, that was Parikshit Maharaj's consciousness. But we can find that in Kamsa's case, no matter how many atrocities he has done, you know, somehow or another, Kamsa is not realizing his mistake. He's not ready to accept and come to terms. He's denying. He's in complete denial of the atrocities that he's been committing since such a long time. So basically what we can learn from Kamsa, we can learn from the demigods, we can learn from the devotees, and we can learn from the demons. So from the devotees we can learn what we should be doing, and from the demons we can learn what we should not be doing. So here we can see that Kamsa is extremely stubborn. You know, and he's not ready to succumb. He is not ready to accept destiny, his fate. He is a sinful man, and he's destined to die by his own sins, but he's not ready to accept. So generally, that is the psychology which conditioned souls face. Say maybe if a doctor diagnoses, and here it is, example is given of a doctor. You know, if a doctor is diagnosing a disease, then he would prescribe medicines so that the disease can be completely eliminated. Because even if there is a small trace of a disease, then it may come back, like a cancer for that matter. You know, even if there is one cell, cancer cell, remaining in the body after the treatment, then that cancer will grow, and you know, it can lead to further complications and even death. So, similarly, we can see that it happens that when we go to the doctor and maybe the doctor diagnoses that you have a cancer, it's very difficult to accept. In fact, the first stage is denial. You may end up saying, what? No, it's impossible. Me and cancer? It's not possible. It happened to one of our friends in the base. He was living, and he wanted to go abroad. So he went through the medical checkups. You know, you have to go for the medical checks. And he was shocked when the doctors told him that he was suffering from hepatitis C. And as you know, that hepatitis is threatening, it's a life-threatening disease, and it may cause premature death at the age of 30, 40, 40 also you can die. So he was denied going abroad. But the most amazing thing was to observe him. He came to me and, you know, he was revealing his heart. And he was saying that how, he couldn't believe, he couldn't accept that he was suffering from hepatitis. He couldn't believe it. He was in complete denial. He said, no, it's not possible. And in fact, he went to so many doctors. You know, he went to so many doctors to make sure that he's really suffering from hepatitis. You know, like that. So, because we are in shock when we are so absorbed in, you know, in our bodily consciousness, we can't believe. In fact, that's what Parikshit Maharaj was told. They were asked, in fact, what is the most surprising thing? And Yudhishthir Maharaj was asked that, what is the most surprising thing in this world? And Yudhishthir Maharaj said, the fact that people live as if they are eternal. Somehow people, you know, just live as if, including myself, that, you know, we can't think that we are going to die. We can't just believe that. So this boy was shocked and he couldn't believe it. And he was going from one doctor to another, third, fourth, thinking that maybe one doctor will say that, no, it was a mistake. You're not suffering from hepatitis. He wanted to hear that so much, but finally he had to. That's psychology. Like, say, maybe I heard an anecdote, you know, that a patient goes to a doctor to get a diagnosis, and the doctor says that you're going to die in a few hours. What is your last wish? And he says, doctor, my last wish is I want to consult another doctor. I want to get a second opinion. I can't believe this. What are you saying? So that is our consciousness. So we see that here, the denial, the first stage is that when we are diagnosed with a problem, the first stage is denial. You can't accept. And then finally when you accept, then you criticize. In fact, that boy came to me after he went through, you know, through a long process of getting diagnosis done from so many doctors. He came to me and he said, you know, I've done so many sins in life, and probably it is because of this that I've got. I offended devotees, and it is because of that Krishna has punished me, and I'm having this disease. I can't believe this. What should I do, Prabhu? Please forgive me. I said, you didn't do anything to me. I mean, why are you asking for forgiveness from me? No, Prabhu, I must have offended you. He says, no, you're not offended me. But the next phase is that, you know, you are criticizing your own self. And then the next, when you begin acceptance, you know, the acceptance phase comes, then you start doing something tangible in order to come out of that situation. So here we can see that Kamsa has not gone beyond the stage of denial. He's not just accepting the fact that he's going to die, and he's making arrangements so that he can become immortal. And therefore it is said in the scriptures, Sukhaya Dukha Mokshaya. You know what is said here. Sukhaya dukha mokshaya sankalpa iha karminaha sadap noti haya dukham anihaya sukhavritaha. That the irony of life is that as soon as you try to look for happiness in this world, to counteract the problems of this world, your problems multiply. And if you look for service, if you dedicate your life to selfless service, devotion, then you actually end up in happiness. And we have seen that. It can be experienced that when you do something to please somebody, when you do something to make somebody smile, you know, that gives pleasure. That gives actually an experience of bliss. But when we are self-centered and we are always absorbed in ourselves, and, you know, then we are working so hard to make ourselves happy, but that experience is not there. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying in the 7th canto that a person must be engaged in selfless work rather than trying to make arrangements to be happy in this world. Happiness will come on its own. And here we can see that Kamsa, now he's in denial and he's trying to make all arrangements so that he can, you know, finish off the cause of his problems. He's trying to annihilate Krishna. But it is not possible. And as a result, even though he's in this kingdom and he's having all these opulences, but he's not happy. He's having this huge following, he's having his followers, his ministers, but that is not giving him any happiness. So, therefore, the message is that we have to be understanding the sacred principle that actually can make us happy. And that principle is selflessness. Selfishness is a cause of death. Selfishness is a cause of bondage. Krishna says that in the Gita. Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Give up the fruits of your action. Because the fruits of your action, if you're attached to the fruits of action, it causes bondage. Bondage means death. And therefore, to be selfless is in our own interest. You know, and that when we tell that very popular story of this man who goes to a sadhu, and he says, "Sadhu Maharaj, I mean, great saint, that please give me a solution. I'm so miserable. I want to be happy. Can you tell me the secret of happiness?" So the sadhu tells him that you go and catch a butterfly. So when he goes trying to find or catch a butterfly, but butterflies are very difficult to catch, you know. Go to catch it, it goes there. It's flying very randomly. So after two or three hours of struggle trying to catch a butterfly, he was not successful. So finally he comes down and he sits at the feet of the saint and massaging the feet of this saint, and the butterfly comes and sits on his shoulder. And he looks at the sadhu, and the sadhu looks at him and he says, "So, what did you learn from this incident?" And then the sadhu says that, the person says that, "Yes, when I was actually running behind this butterfly, it was beyond my reach. But when I actually sat down to serve you, then automatically the butterfly came and sat on my shoulder." So, the sadhu said, the happiness is just like that. It's like this butterfly. You run behind it, it eludes you. But if you actually are running behind service, if you're looking for service, selfless acts, devotion, then what follows is happiness. So this is a secret, open secret, which is known and can be experienced immediately. Actually, and here we can see that Kamsa, who is such a jnani, he's such a learned scholar, but still, he is not able to accept this fact. So it is not just important to know, it is not about information, it is about transformation. We have heard all these things. Kamsa, in fact, we have read in the previous verses. While I was preparing for this talk, I was just reading the previous verses again, and I was reading that how Kamsa was speaking and giving knowledge to Devaki about Shastra. And his knowledge is so profound that if he comes and gives a class here in Radha Gopinath temple, he will be one of the best speakers. Kamsa. Because he's truly an extremely knowledgeable person. He knows the scriptures in and out. But still he's demoniac. So it's not simply knowing. In fact, that's what is said in the Shastras. Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava varjitam na shobate jnanam alam niranjanam kudha puna shashvat abhadrameshvare na charpitam. It is explained that naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava varjitam, that if a person is having knowledge of the soul, and if he is qualified to even get liberation by that knowledge, but if he does not have devotion, naishkarma api achyuta bhava varjitam, then such a person, it is not so credible, it is not so valuable. You may get liberation, but if it is devoid of devotion to Krishna, then that is useless, useless knowledge. It's condemned. Then what to speak of karmic activities which are not connected with Krishna? Kuta puna shashvat abhadrameshvare. Then what to speak of those, you know, unwanted fruitive activities which are the cause of suffering from the very beginning? So, therefore, we can learn from Kamsa that we need to give up that stubbornness. You know, conditioned souls to certain degrees are having the stubbornness, are not ready to give in, you know, and surrender to the will of the Lord. And even though it has been prophesied that he's going to die, everybody has to die, but instead of making arrangements for devotional service, we all know, we have all heard that the desire to become immortal is not artificial. It's not unnatural. We all want to become immortal. That's right, that's good. But the process that Kamsa has taken is wrong. And the process which he has taken is a crooked one. And the process, real process is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So that is the idea, that if you simply chant Hare Krishna, you will become immortal, you can escape death. It's as simple as that. But Kamsa, instead of taking this process, he has taken up to the process of going against the will of God. He's trying to become immortal in this body. In this body, being immortal is impossible. This body has to perish. You know, this body has to perish. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says that this body is like a friend who embraces you so tightly, but then leaves you to go somewhere else. This body, jatasya hi dhruvam mrityur dhruvam janma mrityasya cha tasmat tvam pariharirthe natvam shochitam arhasi. That this body, along with its manufacturing date, the expiry date has also been printed. Just like you have medicines, you know, you purchase medicines. There's manufacturing date and expiry date. Both are printed. So you cannot do anything about this body. No matter how much you try to preserve it, it cannot be saved and protected. And I just came across some wonderful verses by Shankaracharya. You know, he says beautifully, in a very poetic way, he says this. He says, Shariram surupam tatha vakalatram yasascharu chitram dhanam meru tulyam manaschena lagnam guru rangri padme tatha kim tatha kim tatha kim tatha kim. So he says that Shariram surupam, body is very beautiful. Tathapi va kalatram, wife is attractive. Fame spread far and wide, wealth enormous, stable like Mount Meru. But of what consequence are all these if the mind is not riveted in devotion to the lotus feet of Guru? Really, of what use is all this? Tadha kim, tadha kim, tadha kim, tadha kim. Like that, he's repeating. Kalatram dhanam putra pautradi sarvam, gruham bandhava sarva medhadi jatam. Manaschena lagnam guru rangri padme tadha kim tadha kim tadha kim tadha kim. Wife, wealth, son, grandson, and the like, house, relations, even if all these are there, fate is certain. Of what consequence is one's life if his mind is not devoted to the feet of Guru? And he says, Shadangadi Vedo Mukhe Shastra Vidya Kavitva adi gadhyam supadhyam karoti manaschena lagnam guru rangri padme tatha kim tatha kim tatha kim tatha kim. He says, Shadangadi Vedo Mukhe Shastra Vidya. He says that all the Vedas are mastered and ever present on the lips. Likewise, knowledge of all the sciences is well gained. The ability to write prose or verse is also present. Even then, of what ultimate benefit is all this? If one's mind does not devoutedly rest on the feet of Guru, by whose grace alone can one's soul be liberated, of what use, of what use, of what use is this? Hare Krishna. So we can see that Kamsa is trying to accumulate all these things and he's trying to become immortal. But all his attempts are going to be useless. So the only shelter for all of us to learn from this episode is to take shelter of Krishna wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. There is a verse in the, you know, Chanakya Niti. He says, Swamino Ayuktam Swamino Yuktam Yuktam Nicha Sidushanam. He says, Amritam Rahave Mrityum Visham Shankara Bhushanam. So he says, Ayuktam Swamino Yuktam Yuktam. So he says that Lord Shiva, he drank poison and he became immortal. But Rahu drank nectar and he was killed. Why? Because Lord Shiva was graced by the Supreme Lord. Ayuktam Swamino Yuktam Yuktam Nicha Sidushanam. So you see that when there is blessing of the Lord, then whatever we have, even though if we don't have anything, even if we can, if Like Lord Shiva, he drank poison, but he became immortal. In fact, poison went into his throat and glorified him. But Rahu, he drank nectar, but that became the cause of his death. Why? Because he was not blessed by the Lord. He didn't do something to please the Lord. So all attempts to become happy in this world without Krishna ends up in suffering. Therefore, we see that, you know, no solution should be without Krishna consciousness. Any solution which does not have Krishna is actually useless. It will not make us happy, and ultimately it is a failure. And we can see that, you know, today just the opposite. In fact, we can see that so many, in the society there are so many problems. Why? And we can see that recently we read an article that some few boys in Navi Mumbai, they were drinking and driving. They met with an accident and all of them died on Palm Beach Road. Now the government knows that, okay, fine, you know, drinking is bad, right? It is because of drinking. So why don't they ban alcohol? They don't ban alcohol. In fact, every year the number of bars are increasing. Theaters are increasing. Restaurants are increasing. All these. So we see the solution what people are taking is just the opposite. Government can easily understand. It's not very difficult to understand. I came across the statistics from the National Crime Research Bureau that the crime rate year by year is increasing in India. There are 15,000 police stations all over India, and they went and did the research and they found that rape, murders, all these things are on the rise. And every crime is related to either drinking, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication. It's as clear, as straightforward as it is. It seems, but still somehow or another the government does not realize that it is an evil and does not ban it from the society. In fact, just the opposite takes place. Today we see that in Russia, Gita is being banned. Gita is being banned in Russia. We just going through that news. So we see that just the opposite is taking place. In a demoniac society, like Kamsa, he's living in a demoniac society, and attempts are being made to remove Krishna, to annihilate Krishna. So you see, that's what happens in an association, in a demoniac association. That even though things are as simple and straightforward, but still people take just the opposite measure. That instead of banning vodka, people are banning, you know, vodka is what Russian people drink a lot. You know, it's an alcohol, they drink a lot. But instead of banning vodka, they're banning Gita. Because they say that it is a cause of social discord. And it is a cause of extremism. These are the two words which they have used in their allegation. It's a cause of extremism and it is a cause of social discord. And I was just reading this news coverage from a website from Russia. It was a Russian website in English, and I was just reading this, and at the end of it, some two Russian people have given their comments, saying that it could be possibly a conspiracy by the Roman Orthodox Church, ROC, which they call it, to throw out other religions from the country. So they are just discussing like that. Below that, few Indians have given their comments. So I thought that's interesting. Let's see what they are saying. And so one from Tamil Nadu, somebody is saying that yes. Gita has been the cause of great trouble in India. And caste system, Krishna is speaking about the caste system. Chatur Varna Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Therefore, it must be abolished. It is a cause of great trouble in India. And therefore, if it goes to foreign countries, it will be a cause of social discord there also. So therefore, it should be immediately banned. And when I read that statement written by some Indian, and I realized that just see the understanding which people have about Gita. Even Indians don't understand what is Gita. Or probably they understand, but due to some reason, because of their, I don't know what, their sinful nature, they are not able to come to terms with what has to be done, what doesn't have to be done. Even though it is, Gita clearly says that social problem which took place of the caste system is not based on birth, it is not on janma, but it is on guna and karma. And extremism, they are saying that Gita is a cause of extremism. It is not the cause of extremism. In fact, 20 years plus, ISKCON has been preaching in Russia, and there has not been a single case of terrorism. Nobody has become a terrorist by reading the Gita. There has never been a case. But still, the government is saying that something like, Gita is inspiring extremism. Quite amazing. And in fact, they are quoting verses also that Krishna is saying that you fight. And like that. So, and it's interesting that people point out that Krishna is telling Arjuna that you should fight, and that is a cause of extremism. They say that. They quote something like this: Mai sarvani karmani sanyasyadhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasya vigajatvara jora. Krishna says to Arjuna that give up your lethargy and fight. Just see, fight. So therefore, it is a cause of war and extremism. But what they are not seeing is the whole context. If you do not know that Gita is a part of Mahabharata, then naturally your conclusion will be that Krishna is inciting Arjuna for a war. It's like this: if a man is being hanged, if a criminal is being hanged, like maybe say Ajmal Amir Kasab, like he was a terrorist, and they have spent 2 crore or 3 crore rupees on him, still, he's still living. Government is spending 3 crore rupees on him just to maintain him. 50 crores they are spending on him just to maintain him, and they're not even given him any sentence, death sentence. So people are eager to have him hanged. Now, if a person doesn't know his record and they just see or hear about him being hanged, they may think that the government is cruel to kill an innocent man like him. Lord, an innocent, wonderful looking young man, why don't they give him a chance? So unless you do not know the history, you will come to wrong conclusions. So if you take out Gita separately, not knowing that it is a part of Mahabharata, and not knowing that Krishna, before he is telling Arjuna to fight, he has told, God personally went as a messenger, as a peace messenger to Duryodhan to establish peace. And what to speak of that, Duryodhan being a terrorist, actually, he was a terrorist. He tried to give poison to Bhima, he tried to burn the house of the Pandavas, he insulted the wife of the Pandavas, he tried to usurp the kingdom of the Pandavas. So on all accounts, Prabhupada is writing in the book that he is a terrorist and he needs to be killed. So, but still people are saying that, yes, I mean, you know, Gita is inciting war, it's inciting violence. And even Indians, there are people who say that, just the opposite side of it is, people say Gita is actually not propagating war, it is actually propagating peace. In fact, there was somebody who told Prabhupada, one of the disciples of Prabhupada went to Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, there are some people who are saying that the essence of Gita is peace. Prabhupada said, what is rubbish? After the Gita was spoken, there was war. How can it be peace? So what is the essence of the Gita? Is it peace or is it war? So that is the debate. People don't understand what is the essence of the Gita. And therefore, it is explained that, when you take things out of context, it becomes a problematic situation. And in fact, in this, it is explained, Prabhupada is explaining that this verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Gita. What is that? The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. So basically, what is the essence of the Gita is neither peace nor war, but it is to become Krishna conscious. What people don't see is that Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight, but before that he is telling him to become humble, to become free from false ego. That people don't see. So what is the situation today is that people are having a gross misunderstanding of what the Gita is. What is the conclusion of the Gita? Nobody knows. But Prabhupada is explaining, the essence of the Gita is to become Krishna conscious, to become free from the vices. Kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mad, matsari, and to do one's duty. If it is peace, to keep peace, if that is your duty, so be it. If it is war, so be it. But nobody knows this. And therefore, Gandhi, he propagated peace, ahimsa. And he said to be following the Gita. And the person who shot him also was claiming to be following the Gita. He is also following Gita. Nobody knows what the essence is. Therefore, Prabhupada, after having clearly established that what is the essence of the Gita, it is neither peace nor war, but it is actually to become Krishna conscious. That is the essence of the Gita. But what is a vice is considered to be a great quality, a value in a bad association. And here we can see in Kamsa's case, we can see that, you know, all attempts are being made to annihilate Krishna. So that is, we can see, is the modern society, the Russian government in one sense, is trying to annihilate all traces of Krishna and his message. Well, it's not going to solve any problem. You know. And therefore, what we can learn from this is that our association makes a lot of difference. And therefore, to keep a good association is a very important. Otherwise, what is good will be considered as bad and will be advised just the opposite. You know, one of our devotees was telling me one anecdote that one man's friend was admitted in a hospital. He went to visit him. He was in the ICU. And he went to visit him, and he was from China, by the way. So when he went and saw him, something happened. This person opened his eyes, looked at his friend, and he said, "Chin Yun Yan, Chin Yun Yan, Chin Yun Yan," and he just died. So this friend became very upset and he said, "My God, my friend has just died. But it seems that he has expressed his last wish, so let me go and, you know, try to find out." So he goes to China to find out what does Chin Yun Yan mean. So there he found out Chin Yun Yan means you are stepping on my oxygen tube. You're stepping on the oxygen tube. So, you know, it's like he thought he was going to be of some help to his friend. But poor guy, he was killed. So the idea is that when his lack of knowledge, you know, what is good is considered bad and what is bad is considered good. You know, if a leader promises that I'll open more restaurants, I'll open more theaters, he's voted into power. And if a leader says, if a politician says that, well, I will have Gita being propagated everywhere, they'll say, you get lost. That is what is a topsy-turvy world, you see. So therefore these politicians, that's why it said, now who's a politician? A politician is one who shakes your hand in the beginning and shakes your confidence later. Because no matter all their efforts, what they make is only spreading what? Misery. You know. And therefore it is explained, to be in proper association, which means ISKCON, which Srila Prabhupada has actually established, is a proper association where we can live and learn the true principles of life. Where actually implementing principles laid down by Bhagavat and Srila Prabhupada will truly give us happiness and peace in the society. Therefore it is said, Nishkinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanon Mukhasya Param Param Jigamishor Bhavasagarsya Sandarshanam Vishainam Athayoshitamcha Ha Hant Hant Vishabhakshanatopya Sadhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told that there is great devotee, that there is this great devotee, Sri Pratap Rudra Maharaj, who wants to take your association. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I cannot take his association. He's a king, he's a Vishayi. And if I associate with him, I will actually fall down from my position. It's worse than drinking poison, taking bad association. And he says that, why? Because if you drink poison, you die once. But that's not so bad. But if you associate with a materialist who's got, you know, material desires in his heart, and seeing that will aggravate our material desires, will implant material desires in our heart, and that will cause repeated birth and death. So wish and vishay, both are actually dangerous. But Vishaya is more dangerous than wish. Vishaya means sense gratification. And that is what is going on. If you see, bad association is going on everywhere. This propaganda through media, through television. And in fact, previously people had to go out of their houses to get bad association. These days people have to just sit at home to get bad association. And how is that? Switch on the television. That's it. You get the best of bad association at home, very comfortably, at the click of a button. Because what you see in television is this. Sandarshanam Vishayinam Athayoshitamcha. What you see on television is this. You see Vishayis. You see sense gratifiers gratifying their senses shamelessly on television. And by looking at that, the people who are audiences all get contaminated. Sandarshanam Vishayinam Athayoshitamcha. Ha hant hant vishabhakshanatopya sadhu. And therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying that bad association must be given up. That is the worst thing. So, like that. So, basically, we can learn so many things that Kamsa is in bad association. He is adamant, he is stubborn, he is not accepting his destiny, and he is not taking the right path, he is taking just the opposite path, all because of the counsel of his foolish followers. Which we can see is kind of the situation which is prevalent today, the Kamsa society. And therefore, what we need to do is to propagate the message of the Gita and Bhagavatam in a scientific and a logical way, and to go around approaching people to help people understand what is the essence of the Bhagavatam and what is the essence of the Gita. And to transform their hearts by this process of chanting Hare Krishna, because it is, as we can see, that it is not enough to know, but it is what is required is to actually experience that transformation. It is not information, but it is transformation. And therefore, to actually transform ourselves first and then to transform others' hearts is the need of the hour today. And that can be established by, as Srila Prabhupada says, by the process of chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. In fact, somebody was, devotees were discussing in the ashram as to why 16 rounds. You know, I always had this question, why 16 rounds? And many people also may be having this question about why 16 rounds. And then, Prabhuji was explaining that, because if you make that calculation, that Mahamantra has got 16 names of God, Krishna. And when you chant 16 rounds, and in one round there are 108, so that makes it 16 into 108. So that gives you a figure of 28,000 approximately. And it is said in the Shastras that we take approximately 28,000 breaths per day. 28,000, 27,000 something. And even in the medical research, it is they also say, scientists also say that we approximately take around 27,000 something odd breaths in a day. So it's basically equivalent to chanting one name of Krishna with every breath. And that's why it is 16. That's a very wonderful thing. So when we chant Krishna's names with every breath, that will bring about the transformation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare.